Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We head out to the hotline right now. Welcome in a man that played in the major leagues from 2001 to 2014, was an all-star with Tampa in 2009, also made a World Series appearance with the Rays in 2008, now a superstar with the MLB Network, and that's Carlos Pena. Carlos, great to talk to you. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me. Always a pleasure.
Well, we appreciate you coming on. What is it like to see your Rays back in the World Series?
I got to say I'm extremely proud. If I'm allowed to be a fan, I'm pulling for the Rays right now very hard. And, boy, do they have a formidable opponent in the Dodgers. This is a team that's absolutely stacked. And hopefully the Rays could bounce back to tonight and get a win because, in my opinion, it's a must win. They have to get this W in game two.
And especially with Walker Buehler looming in Game 3, I agree with you. I think it's a must-win tonight, down 0-1. When I look back at your time with Tampa, especially that 2008 season, I know it didn't end the way that you guys wanted to, losing to the Phillies in the World Series, but what are the memories that come back to mind for this Fall Classic when you think back about your Fall Classic and also that entire season with Tampa?
Yeah, you know, when I look back at 2008, I often describe the season as magical, and obviously there's a lot more than just magic involved. Obviously, there's great plan and preparation, a lot of talent. But what I mean by that it is a team that was down and out just a year before. As a matter of fact, the franchise had not won more than 60 games in their young history, right? 10 years, never won more than 60 games. And in 2008, for the first time, not only did we overtook that threshold, but we were the best team in the American League East and in baseball, really, with our record. And yes, we did fall short in the World Series, but boy, that is the most fun I've had playing baseball, and that is including Little League, backyard baseball. It doesn't really matter. It was so much fun and such a blast, and one of my greatest memories I've had playing this game that I love so much.
Was that a tough offseason? Like, I know you guys accomplished a lot more than anyone thought you could, but how long did it take for that pain, even though you said it was fun in that season, for it to go away that you guys weren't able to slam the door shut and bring that World Series trophy to Tampa?
Oh, the season was fun, Zach, but let me tell you, losing the World Series was very, very painful, excruciatingly painful. As a matter of fact, I was crying in the bus. I'm not going to lie to you. It's just that, you know, you understand the difficulty of actually reaching that level. Finally, we were able to get to that spot. We know the magnitude of the historical effect that the entire narrative had. You know, oh, this team had never won, never been a winning ball club, and all of a sudden they find themselves in the World Series. Are you kidding me? This is like the epitome of what sports is like, and baseball lends itself for such beautiful stories. So for us not to be able to actually seal the deal and complete the story and kind of like just finish it with a nice bow, it hurt. It really hurt. And it did take me a while to get over it because, look, I never really got another opportunity to go to the World Series, never got there again. So pretty much that was our only chance, or well, that was my only chance, and we couldn't capitalize. So the pain is real. If we're going to put it in perspective, it's basically what we all dream about. It's winning a World Series, and it kind of slipped through our fingers there against the Phillies. But here the Rays are, find themselves with another opportunity to finish what we started and to actually materialize that dream of bringing a championship back to Tampa.
Carlos Pena here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. Carlos, the small market and the situation that the Rays are in, when you look at these two teams, they're totally different. You know, I'm just curious, does that factor into players' minds? I know when the game's, right in front of you, you're looking to just beat your opponent and win as many games as possible, but could that be used as a motivation factor? Because on paper, people look Dodgers and Tampa, and a lot of people say if the Dodgers lose this series, even though Tampa's been a great story this year and they've been a good team for a while, people would think it's embarrassing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. If you look at this situation, the discrepancy is absolutely huge. I mean, the Tampa Bay Rays with the 27th payroll in the league, you look at them right at the bottom, and then you have the Dodgers, which are they are second in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Last time I looked, and even to make that even more magnified, when you look at the cost per win, Zach, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the Rays right now, it cost them $1.9 million per win. If we look at the opening day payroll, and the Dodgers actually. It's double that, almost triple that at $3.9 million per win. So it's crazy when you think about it that way. Now, what happens to both teams when they understand that dynamic? Well, if you're the Dodgers, you could put extra pressure on yourself. You could start thinking the way you just mentioned, like, wait, if we lose, this is an embarrassment. And also, it could cause you to overlook the Rays. I don't think the Dodgers will do that. They're smarter than that. But you kind of take things for granted. Like, on paper, we're so much better than these guys, and our payroll pretty much shows it. You have to be careful with that. And then on the flip side, you have the Rays, who play with a chip on their shoulder, saying, even though we have one of the lowest payrolls in the league, we're going to go out and beat the Goliath, the invincible Goliath, and the invincible and most difficult task that we have before us. That could be a huge motivation factor because, in essence, they're saying we can shock the world here, and this would be an amazing storyline. So whichever way you look at it, you have to just use whatever serves you best. And for the Rays, is to play that David and Goliath card and say, look, we're David, and we're going up against Goliath. And at the end of the day, David overtook the Philistines. So it's important to look at the poetic side of baseball, which I love, by the way. I'm a romantic when it comes to baseball. And that's why I think the race story would be a better one at this moment, especially in America and in the world. So we'll see if they can bounce back tonight.
The romantic all-star, Carlos Pena, here with us on the show. I know you're a Ray. I know you want to see the Rays win. But take the Tampa cap off for a moment. All eyes were on Kershaw last night. He stepped up and he delivered 6 innings, only allowed 2 hits, an earned run, only 1 walk, and striked out 8 Tampa Bay batters. How about what Kershaw was able to do last night, especially with all the pressure and all the shortcomings that he's had in the past in the postseason?
It was an excellent job. You know, we've heard the stories of him not performing in the postseason, and we thought that it had to do with so much bulk, all the innings that he threw during the season. And by the time the postseason got around, he was tired. He wasn't himself. In this case, with a shortened sprint of 60 games, we're arguing, oh, wait a second, now he's going to be fresh. When I asked him this question directly to him, he's like, no, not true. In reality, I'm still throwing. I'm still doing sides. So as far as bulk of work for my arm, I'm about the same. That's not it. And yesterday he came out and did an outstanding job. It's about execution. And yesterday he did execute his pitches. And also went to the right places in the zone, because a lot of people say, oh, hitters hit mistakes. But we also have to take note of the fact that you can make the pitch you want to make, and maybe that pitch was the wrong pitch to throw in the first place, right? So that's a different story. And I thought Kershaw went to the right places in the zone against the Rays. He was pounding the ball up on the top of the zone. He was going up and in on guys, and then he was using the off-speed off of that exact trajectory, which makes it pretty much impossible for hitters to be able to recognize. And that's why he had success. So I don't just flip a coin and tell you, well, he just had a good night. No, he was executing, and his strategy was pristine.
Carlos Pena here with us. We all know how great of a baseball player Mookie Betts is. Nothing should surprise me anymore. but your jaw really has to hit the floor with what he was able to do last night.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. I'm like, wait a second. Is there anything that he cannot do? I mean, what are the limits of his talent? You know, there was a point in time where when I was looking at all the athletes in baseball, you know, including Mike Trout, you know, Mookie Betts was most definitely at the top, and I would say he's one of the top three athletes in the game, and baseball players, period, you know. But what he was able to do last night, crunch time when it really mattered, you know, it's so important to punch first in the postseason, so important to punch first in the World Series, certainly. He was stealing bases, hitting bullets all over the place, playing defense and hitting, you know, going placata on people, you know, hitting a home run the other way. He can do it all. Zach, he can do it all. And this is something I've been seeing and saying ever since I first saw him get to the major leagues with the Boston Red Sox as well. I saw him quite often. He's just a one-of-a-kind player. And, you know, we're talking about 5'2 players. Well, right there is the archetype of a 5'2 player. You're watching it when you see Mookie Betts take the field. It's just flat-out impressive.
He checks all the boxes. Hey, I think Trout's the best player in baseball, but Mookie Betts, Carlos, like you were talking about, he could be the most exciting player in baseball, and Mookie does one thing that Trout doesn't do, and he's in the postseason. You know, that's the unfortunate part. We've only seen 3 postseason games for Mike Trout, and you know there's a lot of casual baseball fans and how important it is to perform on the big stage. What you get to see on the big stage out of Mookie Betts, it's really something. Would you think that's safe to say he's the most exciting player in baseball?
Yeah, that is. He's right up there, you know, especially doing it, you know, right here in the press. And, you know, we could talk about Tatis Jr. being an extremely exciting player, for example. Well, but he's young. You know, he doesn't have that many games under his belt. He's never been to a World Series, and he hasn't performed in a World Series. So if you think about the legends, in all sports, we think about the Michael Jordan, the Larry Bird, you know, Magic Johnson, you know, Tom Brady, and we keep going. It doesn't even matter what sports you choose. What do these legends have in common? They perform in the postseason. That's what we were talking about Kershaw. He needs to perform in the postseason and in the World Series, as he did last night, to solidify his legacy. And look, he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but it sure sounds a lot better when you say, I got some rings. You know, Derek Jeter, Jogi Berra, I mean, you know, Babe Ruth. These guys, there's a reason why they are idolized and mortalized in the sport. Well, Mookie Betts last night pretty much making a case for himself, coming through and doing it in so many different ways. What an exciting player. So I would say, yes, at this moment, right now, today, the most exciting player in baseball. If you're gonna, he's worth every single penny that you pay for to get into a stadium to watch someone play baseball. I mean, just an impressive, impressive talent.
And what the heck were the Red Sox thinking? You know, that is a big market team, Carlos. They're not Tampa. What are they doing trading Mookie Betts in the prime of his career? What are they, stupid?
Man, yesterday I'm watching this game. I'm like, are you serious? And this is the thing. You had him. You had the opportunity to keep him. Look, I'm not even going to give him any trouble. You know, I'm not even going to argue with the fact, like, okay, you know, it was last year. It was towards the end of his contract, you know, I mean, before free agency. And you had him when he was young. Didn't you see this 2 years ago? That's really, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Wasn't that the time where you would then try to sign a player that you know is going to be a pillar in your organization and sign them to a long-term deal? That's when it really makes sense, not when he's about to walk and he's one of the most coveted, he's going to be one of the most coveted free agents in the world. Are you kidding me? That's not the time to do it. You had to do it first, second year. You need to recognize talent right away.
Let me ask you about tonight as we're getting set for this game, game 2 between the Dodgers and Tampa. Dodgers up 1-0 after Bellinger, Betts, and Kershaw were just spectacular last night. Carlos Pena here with us for a few more moments. What comes down to tonight? You know, Snell probably has to give him a great start, right, that Glasnow failed to do last night.
Yes, indeed. I mean, like I said earlier in the show, this is going to be a must-win for the Rays. If they do not, you know, materialize tonight into a W, I think they are in serious trouble. And you could say, you know, that the odds dramatically and drastically just shift towards the Dodgers. So today is a must-win. Snell's going to have to, just like I told you with Kershaw, he's going to have to strategize. I thought, looking at Glasnow pitch, he was all over the place with his fastball. He didn't have any clear strategy, almost like if he was feeling himself, feeling his way through the game, and that is not a good formula. You have to know what you're going to do. With this lineup, you have to attack up and in with your fastball. Glasnow throws 100 miles per hour. Why are you throwing low and away fastballs when you could blast these guys in? You don't want to let these guys get extended. And you're like, wait a second. Bellinger hit a fastball that was in. Yeah, but, when you're going back and forth, out, in, low, that pitch was not optimized. You have to pitch exclusively in that up and in part of the strike zone, I think, against this Dodger lineup. And then you utilize your off-speed pitches on the other side, on the soft side of the strike zone, which is low and away. If you have that combination, you may be able to stunt this Dodger lineup. Otherwise, you're going to be in serious trouble. So I'm going to be looking for Blake Snell to establish that fastball on the uppermost and innermost part of the zone, and then pair it up with that huge curveball and changeup that he's got. But that's what's going to be the equalizer, the up-and-in fastball. Watch it tonight.
Last one from Carlos Pena from the MLB Network. Manfred, he's talking about keeping the extra inning rules where you start extra innings with the guy on second base in the regular season, and he's talking about not going with 16 teams but expanding the postseason from 10 moving forward in the future. Are you on board with the extra innings and then the expanded postseason?
I'm going to start with the expanded postseason. I thought it's been pretty, pretty cool to see teams that maybe otherwise wouldn't have a shot. Maybe 16 teams are taken into an extreme because then it exposes these great ball clubs that played all their years, all the year having a dominant season. They could be out of the race pretty quickly on a short series. Okay, so I think maybe toning it down a little bit, but still expanded it from the old version. I like that idea. More teams get in, more teams have a shot, but at the same time, we protect those teams that, have fought all year to be dominant and been dominant. Okay, so I'm good with that, no problem. As far as the runner at second base and extra innings, that's another thing that I'm not, I'm not against. I'm not totally against. I'm not a baseball purist. I'm really not. I would say I'm a romantic, but not a baseball purist. So I'm like, okay, what does this do to the game? Well, it kind of like makes it a little bit more exciting because action, it forces action immediately. So if it's the same for both ball clubs, even though we can get into mathematical equations that may say that the advantage would go to the visiting team at the top of the inning, but I really think it works. I don't mind the guy at second. I think it makes it a little bit more exciting, and it expedites things. It expedites action, and I'm all for it.
Carlos Pena, keep up the great work at the MLB Network. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Chad. You take care.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.